Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. You can come up closer if you like. I can see you, but it's not... Yeah, now you got it. Come on up. We're vegetarians, don't worry. There's one advantage of having rain. There's nothing else to do but go to the seminar. Camera. I'm supposed to look at the camera? I don't like cameras. This thing on the other side? No? Okay. What we can do is, this thing is like, where's that smaller one? Maybe the smaller one, yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, we're going to, for the next three classes, starting today, explore some of the dynamics of devotee association. How, what it is, the benefits of devotee association, and how to relate to different types of devotees, and how to relate to devotees in general. It's very humble. We like humble people. Okay, let's see. He knows. He looks like he knows what he's doing. He does. Very good. So we're like an agricultural technician. Okay, so, and then the last class, today I'll speak on different categories of devotees and how to relate to different devotees in different categories. And then tomorrow will be more general, power of devotee association, the benefits of devotee association. And the last day is what you should avoid, and that is Vaishnava Aparad. So the last class will be Vaishnava Aparad. So, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Bastyatya De Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dhananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I chose one verse from the fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the eighth chapter. And this is a verse spoken by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. And it's verse number 34. It's always nice to do the Sanskrit. Do you like to try it? Don't get too excited about it. We'll try it anyway. Gunadikam Mudam Lipsed Anukrosham Gunadadmat Maitrim Samanad Anvichchim Na Tapayar Abhibhuyate. Okay, ready? Gunatikam Mudam Lipsed Anukrosam Gunadama Maitram Samanad Anvichchem Natapayar Abhibhuyate. Wonderful. All pundits. There's so many wonderful pundits out there. Gunadika. One who is more qualified. Mudam. Pleasure. Lipset. One should feel. Anukrosam. Compassion. Guna adimat. One who is less qualified. Maitrim. Friendship. Samanat. With an equal. Anvichet. One should desire. Na. Dabai. By tribulation. Abibuyate. Becomes affected. Translation, also purport. The translation and the purport are practically the same. Every person every man, he says, but every person should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be very compassionate towards him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Prabhupada's purport. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. These are the causes of all material tribulations. The great sage Narada therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified person, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified person, one should be compassionate towards him, just to raise him to the proper standard. When one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within the material world. Akyan timidam dasya gira jana salakaya chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhistam stakitam yena bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svam Padantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gauranki Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kampa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Paevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaho Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The association of devotees is the basis of success and happiness in the execution of devotional service. By association, we learn. By association, we become inspired. By association, we become purified. And by association, we actually attain the association of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, and he answered the question differently at different times. He asked, what is the most important function, I guess that's the word, in Krishna consciousness? He said there's three. He said association, association, association. And he wanted to make the point that if you want to become successful in anything, you associate with people who are of the same interest, and in many cases the same qualities and nature. So, especially in devotional service, the opportunity to associate with devotees is the opportunity to become fully Krishna conscious. And how we associate is explained here. And this statement was made by Sri Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was in the forest, and Narada Muni wanted to inspire him to perform austerities as a Brahmin, course, Śrīla Mahārāja rejected that and said, I am a kshatriya, I can't follow that. But for a devotee, these three things are very much essential. In a sense that I'll explain a little bit later, how these things are actually the key to love of God. Maybe I should mention it now. When you meet someone who is more qualified, then the principle is to hear from that person and to offer service. And by hearing and offering service, we become benefited, both through the service and through the process of hearing. And by hearing, we also become enlightened in Krishna consciousness. So it says that one should seek out the association of devotees who are more advanced, because it gives us the, not the opportunity, but the greatest opportunity to make spiritual progress. Because in that association, one can become, what we say, purified of material desires. Prabhupada quoted one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarasanga, Sarasanga, Sarasastri Hoy, Lava Matta, Sarasanga, Sarvasis Siddhi Hoy. That Lava Matta is a very interesting statement. Lava Matta means 1/11th of a second. If we could divide a second into 11 parts, one of those parts is called Lava Matta, or 1/11th of a second. It says that simply by that much association with a great soul, one can be fully purified of all material desires. So, of course, it's a very difficult statement to understand practically. I mean, we also conjecture or think, I've had so much association with great souls and others, and still I'm not purified. So how do I understand this? And Prabhupada was asked that question. I think Prabhupada was asked every possible question that could be ever asked. And of course, it was to our benefit that these questions were asked, but that was the way it was in the old days. Prabhupada was questioned a lot. And he was many times very pleased to answer, but he answered this question in a very interesting way. He said, when the wood is wet, it doesn't ignite. And then, but when the wood is dry, it immediately ignites. So he says, you must go on hearing until you reach that stage where you become purified. So when we reach that stage of continual hearing from great souls, with the mood to two things, the mood is to understand and to apply. Understanding is the beginning, and then, of course, in trying to understand, questions for clarification are there. But then application is the key. But through that hearing process, one becomes purified. I think I had a personal experience, a few of them, but one I can remember quite clearly, is I was listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada. And it was an early morning. I was in California, I remember. And I was very much absorbed in listening to the tape. You know, sometimes when we listen, we just try to hear each word with rapt attention. That type of hearing starts to stimulate our interest. And it also activates the intelligence. And we start thinking of questions or start thinking about what is being said. So that was the mode I was listening in, very, very absorbed in what Prabhupada was saying. And he said the same thing that I had heard probably thousands of times. You are Krishna's part and parcel, you are not this body. We've heard that, right? How many times have we heard that? How many times have we read that? And sometimes we think, oh no, that again. I think I know it. But this particular experience, in my case, was like, it was like all kinds of lights went on and all kinds of realizations about the statement made, it made complete sense. Having heard the statement prior, it wasn't the same experience. It was different. But this time, because of the, just being in the right consciousness and hearing in the right way, all of a sudden, there was realization. There's, when we get realization on the philosophy, it's different than the theoretical aspects of the philosophy. It's what we really want. And so that kind of hearing is what we say really hearing. So in order to reach that stage of what we say perfect hearing, one has to continue to hear. And if one continues to hear with an interest, when Prabhupada was recommended, he was Abhay Charan, even before then, he was, yes, his name was Abhay. He was recommended by one of his godbrothers for initiation. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he heard he was being recommended, he said, oh yes, he likes to hear, he doesn't go away. I have noted that. Bhaktisiddhanta became very animated and very pleased when he saw the interest to hear. And this is the key to Krishna consciousness. The hear with rapt attention. The mind is going this way and that way. But to connect that mind to the sound and to think about what is being said and see how it applies in your own life, that is perfect hearing. That's explained in Padma Purana. And so we have to practice that kind of hearing. And that is associating with great souls, because what the great souls give you, they give you knowledge, or they give you the opportunity to realize Krishna through the process of their vakya. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chichete Korea Akya. We sing that song every day. My food, what is my food? It's not the ordinary nourishment I get from eating. It is your words. It becomes my foodstuffs and my success in Krishna consciousness. So we want to absorb ourselves, and that's the association with great souls, to hear from them and to ask questions, and when we get inspired, to serve, to offer service too. That's explained in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna explains that himself. He says, Tadvidi vid patipatena paripasyena sevaya upadakshyanti te jnanam jnaninam tatpadarshanaha tatpadarsha. That one can actually get darshan of the truth through the process of hearing and wanting to render service in a mood of submission. So this is the key. It's a, not a small key, it's the master key. It's the key that opens up all doors to self-realization. Hearing from great souls. And Prabhupada made that a point in all his lectures, that we must hear, hear, and hear. Now, and then of course, the mood is also to hear and to offer service, because when we offer service, the healing process becomes stronger. Shushrusha Sadadanasya Vasudeva Katavuchi Sanyat Seva Vipraponya Tirtana Sevana. By serving great souls, the healing process becomes more attractive. So hearing produces the association and the desire for service, and as the service manifests, the word is affinity. I want to hear more and more. And that's the key to Krishna consciousness, the process of hearing like that. And so, this is how we associate with those who are, what we say, more advanced, to hear like that, and to ask questions like that. We'll talk about the negative part of the association after, but at the beginning we'll talk about the positive part. So this is the association with great souls, because for those who are more advanced, they have something to offer. And their offering is their service to Krishna. So by hearing, we become purified. Now, what is the process of hearing? There's four aspects to hearing, or four aspects to aligning the consciousness with the proper mood of hearing. And that is, one, faith in the speaker. Two, a submission to what is being said, or humility. Three, and there's the negative part, pushing out all other thoughts within the mind. It's called destroying other thoughts. The mind will go where it wants to go. But in Krishna consciousness, a steady, fixed mind on Krishna, or on a steady fixed mind on the process of hearing, brings about realization. And the last thing is, when we hear with that mood of faith, humility, and keeping the mind focused on the sound, what happens? Two things. We get realization, and we also get stimulated to ask questions, if not that. So this is the process. This is explained by Padma Purana. The story of, I can't remember the personalities, but it's Gokarn, Bhagavat Mahatmya. I believe Gokarn, there was a ghost, and he had become a ghost because he committed some offenses. Now he was in a ghostly body, and he was thinking, what can I do to get out of this ghostly body? So he heard that by hearing Bhagavatam regularly for 7 days from a great soul, one can become purified not only from the ghostly body, but because one also can reach the stage of liberation. So he sought out this one great soul who was giving Bhagavat Saptaha, and he listened. And he really listened. I mean, there was a large group of people that would come. And they would come, and they would sit, and they would listen. But then, after the talk, they would go back to what they were normally doing and come back the next day. But Gokarn was different. He would listen, and then when it ended, he thought about what he heard all the way to the next day when it was time for the next talk. He never broke his pattern of the theme that was being said. He was remembering even while he wasn't speaking. And it's explained he did that for 7 days to receive liberation. Whereas the other persons, they got some purification, but they didn't get what Gokarn got. That is the process. That is the process of perfect hearing, which is illustrated by this particular pastime. So when our minds are fixed with Krishna consciousness, especially on the process of hearing, then we can associate with great souls. Sometimes people like to associate with the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, you should associate with the spiritual master to hear for them and serve them. Not like, oh, like, it's a little funny incident. Prabhupada got a phone. This was back in 1960s when the Hare Krishna movement was just a new movement in America. And Prabhupada was in New York, so he got a phone. They said, Swamiji, we'll give you a phone. Prabhupada said, all right. It was one of these phones, you know, like you pick up the receiver and you put it to your head, and it's not like, you know, the cell phones we had. And so Prabhupada would do his translation, he would start around midnight or even before, and work throughout the night translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was a regular thing for Prabhupada, even in the early days. So, the first day he gets the phone, first day, he gets a call at 12 o'clock at night. Yes? Swamiji? Yes? Is this Swamiji? Yes? How are you, Swamiji? you're calling to ask how I am at 12 o'clock at night? Click. And the next day he told the devotees, take the phone out. And he did. He had the phone for one day. True story. So, you know, they just wanted to talk friendly with Prabhupada. But that's not how you approach the spiritual master. Friendly loose conversations. The spiritual master, or those who are they have something to offer, and that is their association through the Vakya, or through the spiritual philosophy that can purify our consciousness and to serve. So, when we meet someone who is more qualified, therefore it's better, more qualified, we're talking about a spiritual way, not material. Prabhupada's also giving a broader understanding of this verse, even from the material perspective. But on the spiritual level, we want to take advantage of that association through hearing, through questioning, and through service like that. And that brings the heart happiness, and it also makes the mind very peaceful. Prabhupada said, don't try to enjoy your spiritual master. Try to serve him. Okay, so the next is when we meet someone who is, what we say, equal. When we meet someone who is on an equal level in our own practice of devotional service, we do two things. We make friends and we serve each other. So that's the general category. We might say most of the devotees we associate with would be considered in the category of equals. The ones who are advanced, more advanced or less advanced, are in the smaller numbers in percentage. So to associate with devotees means to serve devotees, or to make friendship with devotees, or to share Krishna consciousness together. What is that sharing? We talk about Krishna. And we inspire each other in our devotional service by helping, assisting each other in doing our service. We'll talk about the negative part of this. But that is the basic principle of association. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is like a family. And in the family, there are different relationships among the family members. But amongst the brothers and sisters, we might say, friendship is the key principle to make friends with devotees. What is that friendship? The friendship is to, when you have a friend, you want to do something to make the friend happy. That's real friendship. Materialistic friendship is, I have a friend, so I can show off to my friend just how great I am. That's really, this is the negative part, Prabhupada says. We brag about what we can do to our friends. Oh, I can do this, or else I did this, I can do this. Just see what a nice friend you have. Aren't you lucky to have me as your friend? So this is the material aspect of this type of friendship. But a devotee thinks, oh, I want to make friends and so I can serve that person and share Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says, and Rupa Goswami also explains this, that we should make friends with like-minded devotees. We make friends with all devotees, but we have friendship with a few. That's generally the case, right? You make friends with, you be friendly to all devotees, but be to have a few close friends. It's important to have a few close friends in Krishna consciousness. Why? So you can open up your heart, reveal your mind, and get inspiration, and get maybe also direction in your own Krishna consciousness. It says that everyone should have a close friend in Krishna consciousness. Now you might think, well, I'm married, I have a close friend, she's my wife or husband. That doesn't count. You still should be friends with your wife. It's nice, you know, keep the peace, you know. But it's a different relationship. It's not a relationship. And that, in the husband and wife relationship, there is some understanding of the roles you have to play within that ashram. And so you have to fulfill that. And there's a loving relationship. And also, and it also takes on a mood of friendship. But outside of that, if devotees don't have friends outside of their married relationship, they usually don't make much advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because a friend is someone you can turn to, you can talk to, you can open up your heart, and you can get inspiration from it. And so we make friends with devotees. Sometimes we would say, in the old days, we would go up to somebody, "What's your name?" And they would tell, "Oh." And then we ask them all about them, and then you become friends. Devotees are open. Karmis are like, "Oh, why are you trying to be my friend? What do you want from me? You know I'm rich, that's why." No, devotees are not like that. Devotees like to share Krishna consciousness with each other. And therefore friendship, and friendship is the basis of happiness in Krishna consciousness, you know, to have friends. The devotees did a survey, the GBC did a survey in the year 1996. It was a GBC survey. Why do devotees leave Krishna consciousness? Because a lot of devotees were coming and devotees were leaving. So the survey said, mentioned three things in the order of what we say the highest percentage. And the main reason why devotees leave Krishna consciousness was lack of loving relationships with other devotees. Mm-hmm. We're trying to love Krishna, but we have to love Krishna's devotees too. Now, the devotees are a little harder to love than Krishna, because Krishna's perfect. But devotees are also elements of Krishna's energy, and therefore we can find our relationship with Krishna through our relationship with the devotees. In fact, that's the only way we can really develop our relationship with Krishna. So to love the devotees means to serve the devotees and to make friends with the devotees. When you have strong Krishna conscious friendship in this movement, you're happy. Even if things go wrong, even if it rains, it's not so bad. Even if Chandramali Swami's giving a class, you can somehow tolerate it because you can talk to your friend afterwards. So it's not so bad. But friendship is the basis of happiness in spiritual life. And devotees sometimes don't take time to make friends with other devotees. As I mentioned too, we should find that friendship. And we usually find friendship with people who are similar in nature. When our natures or personalities are very different, and the friendship can be what we say more to appreciate and to respect. But when we want intimate friendship, close friendship, we usually find that with people who are of the same nature. Because nature, it says that when you get married, or if you are married, you look for a wife or a husband that has a similar nature, or we say similar liking. People in this material world, they get married, why? Because somebody looks good. Or somebody can somehow or other attract my mind in an emotional way or in a physical way. But that doesn't last. That doesn't last. That falls apart after some time. So in the Shastras say when you get married, you should find someone of a similar nature. When the natures are different, you start off on the bad. I remember Prabhupada was doing one marriage ceremony. Prabhupada was doing the fire sacrifice. And the fire wouldn't light. It wouldn't light. Prabhupada was trying everything. And Prabhupada, and then finally it did light, and then it went out. And Prabhupada said, "This marriage is going to be very difficult." Of course, that wasn't very inspiring to the people who were there. So, yeah. to avoid that, to get a first good step in your, in any relationship, natures are very important, and ages also. If the ages are quite similar and the natures are there, then friendship and happiness can be found in relationships like that. Like that. So devotees should cultivate the friendship with other devotees. It's very important to have friends in Krishna consciousness. We'll talk about that a little bit later, how you can open up your heart. A lot of times devotees go away from Krishna consciousness because they have problems, but they have no one to talk to. Or they have some questions and they can't formulate the questions properly to get someone to understand what they're really trying to say. So when you have a friend, you can talk. And that friend may not always be able to solve your problem, but they can help you in different ways. So friendship is important in Krishna consciousness. And you can also tell jokes to your friends too. That's also nice. You can do that with your wife and husband too. But and it's actually recommended. That's actually the best way to keep the marriage going, is to joke a lot. That's in the Bhagavatam. I'm not making that up. Yeah, that's the story of Rukmini and Krishna. But I'll skip that pastime. So the last thing is, when we meet someone who is less qualified, this is what this verse says, one shows compassion. If someone is in a lesser position, one thinks, what can I do to raise that person up? It may be a kind word, it may be offering prasadam, it may be preaching some philosophical teachings, it may be assisting them in whatever they're doing. In other words, one should see that I have something to offer, and if I don't offer it to somebody who needs it, I'm a miser. When you gain something, whatever you gain in life, you're responsible to use that for the benefit of others. That's human life. In a material world, when somebody gains something, they want to use that for their own success, for their own happiness. But in Krishna consciousness, if you get something, you should think, how can I share this or give this to somebody else? That's human life. That's the beginning of human life. So in Krishna consciousness, we see someone, or the mood is actually preaching, how to raise others up to the standard of devotional practice like that. So that's called compassion. That's called compassion. So a devotee by nature is compassionate because they feel for others' suffering. If someone is suffering, and you can't, and you have an opportunity to help them, and you don't, you somehow or other become responsible for not helping them. That's how human life works. Prabhupada would sometimes say that he was surprised when he would go to the Western countries, especially America. He would hear about incidents where somebody would be walking on the street and somebody else would attack them, and people would be around and they wouldn't do anything. He said he was astonished, not only astonished, but overwhelmed with shock hearing such things. Somebody is in trouble and you don't do anything? He said, this is not human life. So when we can help someone, and Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, I believe it is, verses 8 through 12. In that verse, there's the 20 items of knowledge. And one of the items of knowledge is nonviolence. So, what is nonviolence? Prabhupada says nonviolence means to, if you see someone suffering and you don't help them, you are violent. Wow. So this is, to be a devotee really means to come to a high standard of responsibility. Whatever we gain in Krishna consciousness, we're responsible to use it. And the beauty of Krishna consciousness is whatever you gain and whatever you give, it grows. And that works with everything. If you spend money for Krishna, you get more. You use your time for Krishna, you get more. If you give your knowledge to others, you get more. Whatever you give in Krishna consciousness, it comes back not only in proportion, but in double, and sometimes triple. That is the principle of devotional service. So, compassion is actually the heart of bhakti. Compassion means to somehow or other do something for someone to make that person come up, or to benefit that person. So that's a devotee. Devotee by nature cannot, they feel for the sufferings of others, right? We see even in the material world, many people are, well, we call them very, humanitarian. And they want to do something to relieve people's suffering. They open hospitals, they feed people, they spend large amounts of money to create institutions to help suffering people. So that's natural. And in Krishna consciousness, we do the same thing on a smaller level, in an individual way, and in a grander way. And that grander way is called preaching. Preaching is a mood of compassion. Preaching is the mood of bringing people up. Preaching means to see someone is suffering and bring them up. So, but even in the society of devotees, which we're focusing on, how to give someone something that would help them in their Krishna consciousness. That is a Vaishnava. That's a Vaishnava. So, we serve and hear from great souls, or those who are more advanced. We make friendship and share Krishna consciousness with equals, and we show compassion. Now, the negative part of these three, and Prabhupada mentions them in the purport, and maybe I'll read it so it's clear. Prabhupada says here, generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious. When we find someone less qualified, we make fun of them, push them down. And we find someone equal, we become proud. Like that. See, these are the negatives. And you see that in the material world. Where is the most envy amongst people who have the same occupation or profession? There's some competition to be better than that person within that occupation or profession. You see that a lot. And a person is trying to get, just like when Prabhupada was printing his Bhagavad Gita, he met with this Japanese publisher, it's called Dai Nippon. And he met with all the executives of Dai Nippon. They all come out to meet Prabhupada and make the contract. So there were 7 executives, and Prabhupada was there. And at the end, each of the executives gave Prabhupada their card, because he was to work with one of them directly to publish his Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada had 7 personal cards in his hand. And he's walking out, and he was, one of the executives started to walk with him. And then Prabhupada said to him, "What is your goal in life?" You know, Prabhupada comes to get his Bhagavad Gita printed, but he's always preaching anyway. He never missed the opportunity to preach. So he said, "What is your goal in life?" And the man said, "Give me those cards." So he took the 7 cards, found his card, and put it on the top, and handed it back to Prabhupada. That was his answer. "I want to be the top." So that's material life, right? Everybody wants to be the top and push the other guy down. And that's what material life is like. But in Krishna consciousness, it's the opposite. We want to be the servant, not so much the master. There's only one master, Ekala Isha Krishna Asabrita. Krishna is the only master. So when we get an opportunity to serve, that's our happiness. Not to be the... So if someone is more qualified, we think, wow, I can learn from that person. And Prabhupada talks about how the gopis, when one gopi would see doing such nice service for Krishna, she would make beautiful garlands, or she would do some, make something nice for Krishna. And Krishna would be really pleased by that gopi's service. The other gopis would think, oh, I want to do the same thing and please Krishna also. And they would congratulate that gopi and say, wow, you did a nice service and Krishna was so pleased. Now I'm going to do the same thing. They wouldn't think, oh, you did it and you got Krishna's favor and what about me? I'm better than you and Krishna knows it, but he looked at you instead of me. So, you know, when we, it's like that. Even now we understand that what is the philosophy of monism, the impersonalist, is they want to be God. They don't want to serve God, they want to be God. Because they think being God is better than serving God, but a devotee knows, I want to serve. Service is the highest thing you can get. You can't go any higher than service. To serve is actually the greatest privilege you can get, because in service, everything is there. Even Krishna wants to serve, so he becomes Lord Chaitanya, just to get the opportunity to serve himself and others in the mood of a devotee, although he's God himself. So service is the greatest. So when we meet someone more qualified, if we feel unhappy because of meeting someone more qualified, then we know we have to work. Because envy is such a destructive quality that it makes our life really miserable. People who are not happy by what's happening to them or by what's happening to other people, they think, if somebody gets something, I should also get it. Or why did they get it? I should actually get it. Like that. That's envy, like that. So what is envy anyway? You know what envy is? It's appreciation turned upside down. Think about it. It's appreciation turned upside down. You like what that person has, but you want it. You don't want them to have it. Whatever it is, recognition qualities or whatever. Like that. So Prabhupada said competition in Krishna consciousness is good, but not in the spirit of enmity or meanness, but in the spirit of wanting to serve Krishna better and better. Like that. So one should avoid that mood, that when one sees one more qualified, one should think, jai, not like that. When we have no aspirations than other than to be a servant, we're happy. When we have aspirations to be something other in our Krishna consciousness, I want to be recognized, I want a position, I want some facilities, I want followers, I want. That's the problem. Then that mood of envy will come in, because there will always be someone better in whatever you want. Like that, so avoid that. And okay, the second one is that when we see someone who is, when we make friendship with equals in the material world, they like to make friendship with each other so they can tell each other just what a nice friend they are, right? You see five people walking down the street and they're all talking at the same time. You see that in America sometimes. They're all talking about themselves and nobody's listening to anybody else. Or just like when you're in a conversation with somebody and somebody's talking, but you just can't wait till they stop so you can tell them about yourself. Right? Instead of listening and appreciating and try to understand, you're enthusiastic to say, well, just listen to my story, it's better than yours. You might not think like that, but that's the mood. So the idea is that when we have the materialistic aspect of friendship is we want the other friend to appreciate me rather than I appreciating my friend, like that. So That's the negative. And the last one is that when you meet someone who is lesser, you think, haha, I'm better than that person. They say, suffering was misery loves company, right? So if you're miserable and you see somebody miserable, you think, it's not so bad. They look more miserable than I am, so my misery is tolerable because they're more miserable. So in other words, that when someone in a lesser position, just like you see in the material world, people always make fun of everybody, right? The common way to joke is to criticize another person, right? Or to make another person look bad, either by nationality or by anything. People make jokes. Pushing other people down so I can push myself up. But a devotee thinks, I want to push others up. And in order to push others up, you have to be down, right? Because we should pull others up, but in pulling others up, we shouldn't go down. But we should, if we're downward, should also be able to push others up. So that's the idea. That in the material world, one sees others who in a lesser position as a source of making fun, deriding them, or feeling happy in your own situation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I see somebody happy, oh, I feel miserable. He's praying as a conditioned soul. And when I see somebody miserable, I'm happy. Right? And sometimes we hear about a calamity and we think, oh, nice. It's interesting. But a devotee doesn't feel like that. In other words, a devotee feels that another person's happiness is my happiness, another person's suffering is my suffering. That's Krishna consciousness. Okay, so this is a fast class. Any questions? The different relationships, yes, Prabhu. Please tell me your name again. Jaina Tagore.
I was wondering if you could say a few words about anger, because
there's two kinds of anger. Anger that is selfish and anger that is selfless. This is from my understanding. Anger that is selfless is anger that is for the benefit of the person, just like a parent when they get anger at a child in order to teach the child to correct the child. That's anger out of love. A guru might get angry at his disciple in order to somehow or other instruct and correct. Like that. Or a devotee gets angry at the materialists who blaspheme other devotees or God. These are all positive aspects of anger. Anger can be used in Krishna consciousness or can be used for the benefit of others. But that kind of anger doesn't control the person who uses the anger. The other kind of anger, you become controlled by that anger. And what is anger? Anger is the frustration of your desire. When something doesn't happen, it doesn't go your way, or some expectation is frustrated, or something you expect doesn't happen, you may get angry like that. So that's about me. The anger that is positive, it's about service to others. But if something is about me, that's negative, that's anger. And it's usually frustrated desire, frustrated expectations, like that.
What about in specific case when there's a group of devotees, they're coming from different backgrounds, different age groups, and they have to deal with each other, and sometimes...
Humility.
The anger is there because in dealings. Make other people do things with anger.
What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Tri vidya naraka sedam dwaram nasaram atmanaha kama krodas tata lobas tayam trayat trajat. Etam Trayam Trajet. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. A sane man should give them up because they lead to the degradation of the soul. Bhagavad Gita 16:23. So in 16:21. In that verse, Krishna is explaining that materialistic anger, or anger that comes by way of your own frustrated desires, frustrated expectations, is destructive to the soul. It leads to hell. I explained the positive aspect of anger. That's the only acceptable aspect. In dealing with different devotees in different situations, one has to somehow or other be patient. Be a little patient and be a little humble. Because in patience and humble, and trying to understand and work out the problems, the mercy of Krishna becomes available. When we bring in the mercy of Krishna into a situation, as opposed to, what is that mercy? Is that we're trying to work together as a group. So there may be disagreements, but when anger comes in, it just pollutes the whole thing. Because anger, Krishna says, destroys intelligence. And when intelligence is lost, you can't reason properly. You just become, what we say, affected and controlled by that anger. So tolerate. Learn how to tolerate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Prabhu? Yes. Brigendra?
Hare Krishna. Thank you. A wonderful class. I would like to know, when we have this same level, what are the parameters that we can, you know, say, okay, this devotee is on the same level at the time?
Friendship. How do we understand how to make friends, you mean?
That we know, okay, this devotee is at the same level that I am.
Oh.
Or, you know, we can see advanced devotee or devotee who is maybe not so.
Well, there's symptoms. There's symptoms. There's different stages of bhakti. And one should know the symptoms from each of the different stages. So, generally that's a broader category than the other two. The friendship category. Sometimes we even make friendship with people in a lesser position or in a higher position, but it doesn't last because the relationship is not beneficial. So it's really not so easy to discriminate, you know, but generally you should know what stage of bhakti you're practicing. Rupa Goswami explains that there's 9 stages. Adhaustrada, Sada, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, Anartha, Nivritti, Nishta. Nishta means when you see somebody who is steadily practicing Krishna consciousness. And if you're steadily practicing Krishna consciousness and someone else is steadily practicing Krishna consciousness, you may say you're on the same level. There is quite a gap between the friendship and then those who are on a higher platform. So, a devotee is friendly to everybody. A devotee by nature is friendly, but they make friendship with people who are of the same nature, generally. Then we can talk and open up our hearts. You ever meet a person that as soon as you meet them, you feel like you know them or you can just talk to them? They have a certain quality that is... They invite you into their association just by their personality. When you meet people like that, then you find friendship easily. So, Krishna's in your heart. Krishna's in your heart. And if you're looking to establish friendship, it becomes easy to see how to do that. We do it by service and just by being friendly. Sometimes we even speak mundane things. Well, how are you? Where you been? How's the family? How's the kids? Something like that. Just general, what we say, small talk to open up a relationship like that. Yeah. Does that help a little bit? Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. Kishore. Madan Kishore. Madan Kishore.
Thank you for a nice lecture, Maharaj. I would like to ask if you maybe can tell what were the other two reasons why devotees left?
Well, the second one pertains to grihasthas. Grihasthas could not find their place in Krishna consciousness because they had to maintain their families and at the same time practice devotional service. So it became a struggle, so they went with the other side. They left the active association of Krishna consciousness, got a job, raised the family, lived outside, and became very less connected with the movement like that. That was the second reason. And Prabhupada wanted the farm communities. He wanted a more, you know, varnashram dharma situation where families could associate together and produce their needs in family life and at the same time practice Krishna consciousness. He wanted communities. That's where we haven't done yet. We haven't established strong, what we say, grihastha communities. And people go outside, send their kids to karmi schools. When you send your kids to karmi schools, they become karmis. Or they develop karmi tendencies like that. And when we say we have to work for non-devotees, then we have to be in an environment which is very hellish a lot of times, or difficult. It puts pressure on our Krishna consciousness. But because the society hadn't developed to the stage where we actually could provide the community atmosphere and the needs of the grihasthas, so they went outside to find their needs and family needs like that. And that's still there today. And the last one was brahmacharis would be sent out for fundraising. When you put brahmacharis out for collecting money in order to support projects, they become very, what they call, fruitive. And then they start falling back into their own mentalities again. So that was the third one. But the main thing is lack of loving relationships in devotional service. I mean, when I speak of loving relationships, I don't mean we just get together, have a little program, and, you know, go away. That's not loving relationship. Loving relationships, actually, we have a deep concern for each and every devotee in our movement. How to associate, how to help devotees like that. If we get too much caught up in our own family life, it kind of makes it difficult for developing those loving relationships. That's why community is really a foundation of developing those loving relationships. And it's also economically feasible. So, yeah. This is a family. There's fathers, mothers, children, uncles, aunts. It's Prabhupada said that. I've created this Krishna consciousness family. Oh, and it's okay. This is the point I wanted to make. The acharyas explain that by serving and worshiping and hearing from great souls, by making friendships with equals and by showing compassion to others, this is how you relate to Krishna. You show your love to Krishna by, you offer your love to Krishna, not show. You offer your love to Krishna by hearing from great souls. You offer your love to Krishna by making friends with equals. You offer your love to Krishna. So sometimes they say, well, it's so hard to love Krishna. Here's how to do it in a practical day-to-day way. And Prabhupada says, and the verse says, and Prabhupada says, if you follow this, you will never be affected by the miseries of this material energy. So that's an absolute statement. Here's where peace and happiness come, by cultivating these levels of relationships. There's no more material miseries. So, everything's based on relationship. We're trying to love Krishna, but we have to love his devotees too. How to love a devotee? Some devotees are not so lovable. Some devotees are really lovable. But that's your own opinion. Krishna's in the heart of each and every devotee. So when we take time to care and serve other devotees, we're actually serving Krishna by serving that devotee. It's actually direct service to Krishna. More than anything else, it's very difficult to serve Krishna. It's very difficult. But to serve his devotees is the way to Krishna's heart. And who is the devotee? Anybody who comes to this Krishna conscious movement and is trying to practice Krishna consciousness. We can practice serving that person according to how best that person can be benefited. Like that. It's not just up to the temple presidents and the gurus to do that. It's up to each and every devotee to take time for the care for everyone else. Imagine if that was like that. There would be no problems necessary. No problems at all. Everyone would find everything they need in that. And it's real. Materialistic relationships are not real because they're based on the body, and the body is not the self. But spiritual relationships actually go into the essence of our existence because they keep Krishna in the center, and they're the foundation for happiness because it's based on service. In the material world, someone will serve somebody in order to get something from the service. Devotee wants to serve. Why? Because it makes me happy to serve. The definition of happiness is, this is the definition of happiness. You ready? Write it down. The definition of happiness is, if I do something for you and you're happy, I'm happy. That's happiness. If you do something, serve somebody, and that person is happy, you feel happy, that's your reward. And that's your satisfaction. Not like what you can get out of it. If I make you happy, how much do you owe me? Pay up right now. No, that's materialistic thing. So happiness comes by making others happy. And the ultimate happiness is making Krishna happy. But how to make Krishna happy means making his devotees happy. How to make his devotees happy means knowing how to make his devotees happy by serving in these three relationships. Well, that's the key right here. This verse is very, very instructive. Like that. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. I was expecting your question. Thank you.
Pre nekoliko godina čuo sam jednu priču o Lava Matri koju nisam razumeo. Pretpostavljam da ti je poznata ta priča. I da li bi mogao na toj konkretno... Da, da.
Lava Matra?
Lava Matra, da.
The verse Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastri Choy, Lava Matra? Or is there something different?
Pa, radi se o jednom sanjasiju koji je napustio ovaj porodicu, međutim u toj kući je ostao brat njegovog sina koji nije imao oca i o kome on brinuo, što prevesti. Koji napustio dom. Ostao je sin od njegovog brata. I taj sanjas je lutao svetom, međutim do njega su došle glasine da je sin njegovog brata krenuo s tramputicom, počeo je da pije, da se druži sa drugim ženama i zapostavio je porodicu.
Then this sannyasi heard about the son of his brother that he degraded himself.
Da. I on se, iako se sannyasi ne vraćaju kući, on se vratio kući.
Even if sannyasi usually never come back home, he came back home.
I prenoćio je samo jednu noć.
Stayed at home just one night.
I ujutru kada je krenuo, njegov bratanac ga je ispratio i on ga je zamolio da mu zaveže pertle na cipelama.
And then next day, when he was leaving, and then he said to his personality, just to tie his shoes.
I kada je on čučnuo, on mu je rekao, samo ovaj život je kratak, vodi računa šta radiš. I to je bilo dovoljno, ta lava matra je delovala. Ali...
Oh, okay. So then he became purified simply by that one small act. I have never heard the story before, but thank you anyway. Very instructive.
A meni ipak nije jasno kako je to delovalo, da li bi mogo malo da...
I can tell you another story, lava matra, and that's the story of Narada Muni. But I'm getting the sign from Ananta Prabhu that it class is over. It happened. you can't see the subtle energy, but it happens. When Narada Muni was serving the great souls, just by that service he became purified. That's before he was Narada Muni. Just by serving great souls, he became purified, and became in his next life he became Narada Muni. So there's such spiritual benefit in serving great souls. Who's a great soul? Well, you don't know. So therefore, not to take a chance, serve everybody. Okay, thank you. I think we're getting ready for the next seminar. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur.